Okay, Bava Basra, Perek Ches, Mishnah Hei. HaOmer, if one says, Ish ploni b'ni b'chor, my so-and-so, my firstborn, lo yitel pishnaim, when I die, he shouldn't inherit a double portion. Or if he says, Ish ploni b'ni, so-and-so, my son, lo yirash im echav, he should be disinherited when I die, and the state is apportioned, he should not get a portion. Lo amar klum, that is a totally ineffective declaration. Even if he does it, you know, the formal, but it doesn't matter. Writing kinyanim doesn't matter. Why? Shehisna al mashikasa b'Torah. He's attempting to make a condition, a stipulation that is against what the Torah said. The Torah said there are rules of nachala, and he's trying to make different rules up. So if he's talking about how the nachala should work, too bad. The Torah predetermined how nachala should work. However, if a person isn't alive and decides to give stuff away, he can do whatever he wants. And therefore, in the case of the Mishnah is going to be a case where a person's on his deathbed. Didn't have to be that way, but the point is, the chiddush is by on a deathbed, the normal rules of halachic transfer are suspended. And even if a person just says what he wants, that is binding as if he wrote it and delivered it with a normal kinyanim. Because the rabbis were afraid that if a person on his deathbed couldn't execute his affairs as he wanted to, and let's say too tired and ill to start signing papers and doing formal kinyanim, then he would be upset that his, you know, didn't sort things out properly, and therefore that would sort of exacerbate his illness and maybe bring him to sooner death. So therefore the rabbi said, on a person's deathbed, if he's acting out of fear, he's about to die, what he says goes, a special halachic, you know, extra empowerment of a shchiv meirav, a person on his deathbed. And therefore, a machalik b'nechasav, if a person's apportioning out his assets, levanav alpiv, to his children verbally, and that means in his lifetime he's giving it out. And he's saying now, in his gifting, that's the key thing, he's gifting it, not, he's not saying in the previous part of the mission was, when I die, this is how Yerusha should work. Too bad, that can't change, Yerusha's Torah's rules. But if he says in my lifetime, now I'm now apportioning out my assets while I'm still alive, so then, if he's riba le'echad, umiyat le'echad, if he gives more to one son than the other, v'hishva le'haben esa b'chor, or he gives the two boys equally, even though one's a firstborn and one's not, devarav kayaman, that stands, because in your life you can gift whatever you want. You could also gift it to the Philharmonic, and that would also stand. So if you gift it to two boys, that's as his prerogative. Vim amar meshum yerusha, however, if he said, he's talking about when he dies and it should be effective as a yerusha's inheritance, lo amar klum, those declarations mean nothing because he has to be gifting it while he's alive. Once he's dead, he has no power to gift things anymore. What he says has no halachic significance. The Torah's kicked in. Now, if he writes a document and the document specifies what should be given, so we're not talking about a guy shechiv meirah anymore, a person who's or yes shechiv meirah or not. The point is he's trying to execute his affairs while he's still alive and he's doing it with written documents. And he writes in the paperwork that, I'll speak it outside first because it's too confusing inside. He mentions it's a gift for the sake of, you know, how his inheritance should work. So Mishnah is going to say, as long as he's saying it's a gift, meaning that would imply while he's alive, it's effective, even though he happens to also potentially confuse the issue by mentioning, you know, inheritance talk. So it says, Kasav, Bein B'tchila, Bein B'emsa, Bein B'sof, Mishum Matana. If in a sentence he mentioned that this is for a gift, meaning during his life, even if he also mixes up Lashon of Yerusha, inheritance, betchila, meaning that he says, I'm giving this to you. I'll speak in English now. The Bartonor gets exact Lashonos of how it would work in Hebrew, I'll speak in English. If a person says, I'm gifting you this, so you should be my inheritor. So the point is, the gifting came first, and then he mentioned inheritance afterwards. Or Bein Be'emsa, he says this really confusing sentence. He says, as far as my inheritance goes, I'm giving you this as a gift, so you should be my inheritor. The point is, he mentioned inheritance at the beginning and the end, but in the middle he mentioned gifting. Or Bein Besof, he says, as far as my inheritance goes, I want to give you this as a gift. So then, in all those cases, Devar of Kayam, and it stands. Because he's saying it as a gift now. So he's talking about inheritance or legacy, you know, or Yerusha talk, but it doesn't mean literally post-mortem, it means during his lifetime. HaOmer, new point here, if a person says, Ish ploni yirasheni, he says, so-and-so should be my inheritor, you know, his best friend, whatever it is. But makam sheyesh bas, but he actually has living daughters. Or if he says, biti tirasheni, my daughter should be my inheritor, the makam sheyesh ben, but he has another son, lo amar klum. What he said is totally meaningless. Shehisna mashakasa b'torah. He's talking about inheritors, and the Torah already said who the inheritors are, so that doesn't work. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer, he says, and the truth is, he's actually not being cholak, he's just adding, and this is the din is like him, with the exceptions I'll say in a second. He says, listen, it's true that you can't change who your inheritor should be, but you can adjust the proportions that the legitimate heirs get. In other words, you have simple case. You have your oldest child is a son, and then your oldest child is a daughter. Simple yet. Oldest child is a daughter, and you have two sons. So those two sons should be inheriting 50-50. Reuven ben Barucha says, you could say, I want my kids to inherit me, my boys to inherit me, 40-60. The two boys are legitimate heirs, but you say, I want it to be 50-50, I want it to be 40-40. That will work, Mishnah says inside. Im Amar al Mishu Roy Li Yerusha. If he talks about his sons that Taka are in line, and he says, but not 50-50, 40-60, Devar of Kayaban. That works. Val Misha Ein Roy Li Yerusha, if he says, I want the daughter, I want my kids to get 30-30-30, a third. Ein Devar of Kayaban, because the girl is not entitled to any Yerusha as far as the Torah goes. So if he's talking about gifts, it would work. If I talk Yerusha, it wouldn't work. That's the din. Allah Hasek Rabbi Yochanan Broka, except the two important caveats. The less important one is that the Torah specifically says you can't cheat the Bechor out of the double portion. So if he had two sons and one was a Bechor, he would not be able to give less than a double portion to his oldest son. So for argument's sake, he had two sons, he couldn't give less than a double portion. If he had three sons, so the Bechor gets 50, he gets 2 out of the 4. So what he could do, for argument's sake, is to say, I'm giving 50% as I'm supposed to my Bechor, but my second child gets 49% and my third child gets 1%. That's legitimate. That will stand. Okay, that will stand, because they're all the heirs, and he's just apportioning amongst them how much they should get, and he's not taking away the Pishnaim, the double portion from the firstborn. There's another important qualification here, which is Lahalacha, which is the Pasuk upon which Rav Yochanan ben Barucha based this. It says, "V'haya b'yom nichilu es banav," on the day he, bequeaths to his boys. So many learn that this rule that Rabbi Yochanan ben Barucha is saying, you could allocate how you want amongst your legitimate heirs, only applies if you're acting from your deathbed. So if it's a deathbed gift, it will stand as 50-49-1, whatever the story is. But during a regular, normal course of events, you try to set up a condition that when you die, your inheritors should get 40-60, your two boys or whatever. So that will work, and therefore the Gola Chumra, it doesn't work because the Torah says otherwise. So therefore, the Halacha, it's true, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Barucha, a person could say 40-60, but only from his deathbed. And only if he's not undermining a Bechor's legitimate claim. Now, the last part of the Mishnah says, Hakosav is Mechasav Lacherim. If a person gifts in his lifetime stuff to other people, he decides his kids are no good next, therefore he gives to his friends or to the Philharmonic. V'niach has banav, and he just abandoned his kid. He says, my kid, let him fend for himself. Masha asa asui, look, what he gave in his lifetime, he gave. He can totally, give everything away and leave the kid with nothing. Aval ein ruach hacham noche menu, the rabbis weren't impressed with that. They said that's a bad practice, and they didn't like it very much at all. They didn't have rest from him, weren't pleased by him. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, listen, im lo hayu banav nohagin kshura, if the kid was a no good nick, he didn't behave properly, so then zachur latov, like he should be remembered for good, and good for him, the father, for cutting out the kid, because it's just going to ruin him. However, the halacha is like the Tanakama, the rabbis discourage people from cutting their kids out of their wills, even legitimately, they should let the kid inherit, even if the kid wasn't the best kid.